Today we close our series, our All Things New series. But that doesn't mean that things aren't going to be new anymore, amen? All things new. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ makes all things new. And I'm excited about that. And that's what we need to continue to tell our friends and our family members in this community, is that He makes all things new. And, you know, you don't have to be a PhD in the Bible to tell someone about Jesus, amen? So what I want to encourage you to do as we step in from this season to another season is continue to share your faith. And if nothing else, I mean, God's going to present opportunities. People are going to come up and say, man, I just had a horrible week, and man, or you know, I just lost one of my loved ones, or I just lost my job, and I'm just broken. God's going to draw people like that to you. And what can you tell them? You can say, you know what? He makes all things new. Let me tell you about Jesus, amen. Let me tell you who died for you, who loves you, who can fill you with His Spirit and give you purpose. I am excited about the fact that although seasons change, He never changes, amen. He never changes, and that's good news. Please turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Solomon is probably my favorite, if not one of my favorite writers in all of the Bible. I share my testimony, which many of you have heard months and maybe even a year ago now, through Ecclesiastes chapter 12, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I dedicate that to my friend that passed away when we were teenagers. And I just loved the wisdom of Solomon and how that God, out of something bad, brought Solomon into something good, and how he was so blessed. And he had so much wisdom, and he could look at life. He was able to look at life towards the end of his life, and he was able, it almost is cynical sounding, this passage of Scripture, but I don't believe Solomon meant it for us to be cynical. Solomon, I believe, meant it so that we would have a perspective on life, so we would know that what truly matters. And what truly matters is a relationship with God. But a lot of times this is passage of Scripture is read at funerals, right before the closing of the casket. This passage of Scripture is read. But I'm going to read it to you this morning, and we're going to look into it just a little bit. To everything there is a season. Everybody say a new season. That's the title of our message this morning. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born. How many of you say, at some point in my life, I was born, amen? I pray that you've been born again, but at some point in my life, I was born. There's a time to be born, amen? There's a time to be born. Everything in life, there's time for the birthing of something new to come out of your life. And there's a time to be born. But then, to the extreme opposite, he goes and says there's also a time to die. I mean, this is one verse, the parallel between being born and dying. And I've said this before, but unless the rapture comes first, we're all going to die, amen? And Solomon understood that as he grew older. We're all going to die. God, you know, we all have just a limited amount of time on this earth. Some of us have longer than others. Some of you, you may get the 70.7 years on this earth, but some of you may, like my friend, you may leave as a teenager, or like people that we've seen in my church just the past 2 weeks, young people passing away and going on to be with the Lord. I don't know how long you're going to live this morning, and I don't claim to, but I know this, whether it's one day or 100 more years, you better be living for Jesus and you better have purpose, amen? But there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to birth things, but there's also a time, my friends, to let things die. Let things die. You can't try to keep something living that's dying, amen? There's a time to let things go on and die. And even in business and even in church life, if something's not working, we need to just be willing to let the thing die and let God birth something new, amen? I'm doing expository this morning. We'll get to the outline in a minute. I like to preach through the verses in Ecclesiastes. But there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant. You know, I bought a foreclosure home 4 or 5 years ago. Kelly and I had just been married 3 or 4 years. It's a big house, but it was rotten to the core. I mean, brown cedar siding. Have y'all ever seen that? Brown cedar siding that's wore out, that has had more woodpeckers on that thing, and it had the ugliest color red. I wouldn't even call it red. Shutters. There's not a red in here that even resembles it. It was so ugly. It was like Alabama red clay shutters that had been painted and were falling apart. Carpet was dirty. No grass. There was a car, an old rusty car, in the back of it that had been parked in the yard so long and eventually ran. The people who foreclosed the home tried to move the car and it ran over the fence. I mean, it was an awful looking place. But we've recently, the last two or three years, we fixed the house up. We've lived in it and fixed it up as we go. And it's turned into just a beautiful house. But we've never fixed the landscaping problem. And we just started to this past year. And this guy from Fine Lines said, "Brother Ronnie, I know we can seed and aerate your yard." And I didn't know what in the world that was. And y'all make fun of me. But apparently there's a machine that goes and just pokes holes. I mean, holes everywhere, deep holes. And then they run over this with seed. And it puts it way down the ground. Now, here's what I'm thinking. They want to do this in the cold of fall. And I'm thinking, why in the world would you not do this when it's warm? Well, anybody that knows landscaping, I didn't, knows that that's when you do it. If you want to see a harvest, that's when you put the seed in. And you put the seed in, you may not be able to see the harvest. You may not be able to see right then. At my house now, there's 6 inches of snow all over the grass. You say, "Pastor Ronnie, what are you getting to?" I'm saying if you've sown seed into this ground or into good ground, there may be snow on top of the ground now, but that seed is being nourished. It is in the soil. Water is touching it, and it may be covered up by the things this world may have stacked on top of it, but bless God, there is growth going on underneath. And you may have sown seed into this house, and God, things may not have happened in the time or the time span you wanted it to happen, but my friend, that seed is still in the ground. And in due season, God's going to reap the harvest and bring the harvest. And that's good news. It's encouragement for you this morning. Next, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. Every now and then, there's some stuff. You've sown some bad seeds. You've done some things you shouldn't have done. Amen. You've made some mistakes. You've sown some bad seeds into this world. And now you've got some weeds growing up around the fresh produce that God wants to birth out of your life. You've got some weeds around what God's trying to do. Young people, y'all quit laughing back there now. I don't want to embarrass you. Pay attention. There's some fresh fruit God wants to bring up, but there's weeds around it. Now, what do you do with the weed? You got to pluck them out. So I want to encourage you this morning, if God has promised you something, if He's birthed something in you, and you just can't seem to get a leg up, you can't seem to figure out which direction to go, maybe you've got some things you need to pluck out. Maybe it's sin. Maybe you need to go back and you haven't apologized or asked forgiveness from some people where you've sown bad seeds. But there's a time to be planted and there's a time to pluck what is planted. There's a time to kill. Now this is in God's. This is from a God worldview is the way Solomon meant this. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. And basically, that's from God's point of view is the way He meant that. Bless God, I believe in a loving and a merciful God, but I've also read the Old Testament. There's a time where there's going to be judgment on the people who choose not to follow God. And there's a time to kill. And it doesn't say that there's a time to murder. It says there's a time to kill. You see, everybody always says, "Well, Pastor Ronnie, how do you explain war when it says, 'Thou shalt not kill'?" Well, the translation of that is, "Thou shalt not murder." And there's a difference between killing somebody and murdering somebody. Amen? If you come in and try to hurt my children, you're going to meet me and Keith. I'm going to borrow one of your hunting guns because my wife won't let me have one in the house. Amen? But if you mess with my kids, you're going to get welcomed by a gun. And I'm going to kill you. All right. Amen? I may have to ask forgiveness and I may spend the rest of my life in jail. You try to hurt my kids, I'm going to kill you. But I'm not going to murder you because there's a difference. You understand what I mean? Murder is when you have malice in your heart and there is no reason at all and you take someone's life for nothing. Maybe they offended you. Maybe they ran you off the road. Maybe you needed money and you decided to rob them. But murder is different than protecting your family, protecting your country, protecting your church. There's a difference between protecting something and having malice in your heart and going and murdering someone. A time to kill and a time to heal. There is a time where God's going to heal every one of us on this earth. I've already been healed a number of times. How about you? Amen. If you're here, you've probably been healed because we live in a fallen and a cursed world. There's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. There's a time to break down and a time to build up. And I promise you, if you serve God long enough, you're going to get broken down. And you're going to get built up, amen? Because He's a God that'll break you down, but He'll build you back up to have a much stronger ministry. A time to weep. How many of you have cried before? Amen? How many of you have mourned before and been hurting before emotionally? How many of you? I know I have. I'm a bit of a crier, amen? You say, we know, we've heard you preach. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. I love how Pastor David walks in the Spirit because he encouraged you to dance right before this message. And I just believe he walks with God. I mean, he knows what I'm preaching, but I believe he walks with God because what he's saying is it's time to dance. Come get up here and dance before the Lord. There's a time to dance. I don't care if you was raised independent Baptist or not. David danced. And not just our David, amen? The real David danced. I mean, if they can get it dancing and grooving at a club, why can't we dance for Jesus? We've got the most precious thing to dance about. Jesus. The best dancing ought to be going on in the church, not in the club. Talent scouts ought to be coming to the church saying, man, that dude can groove. I'm going to have to sign him. There's a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. There's a time to cast away things, and there's a time to gather. There's a time where you need to hold on to some stuff. How about that relative that's sick, that's loved you and cared for you? There's going to be a time. There's a time where you need to hold their hand, and you need to love them, because you ain't going to have them forever. There's a time where those things that are so precious to you, you gather them up. But you don't gather them up for selfish reasons. You just gather them up for a season. Because there's going to come a time where you need to cast your stone. Amen? Cast it where it'll make a difference. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time, my friend, with people in your life, friends, family, people that you've been close to, there's a time where you need to embrace them. Bless God, let me wrap my arms around you. You're going through a struggle. There's a time where you need to embrace. But there's a time this says you need to refrain from embracing. Every now and then, after you've been kicked in the teeth by the same person over and over and over again, they've lied to you, they've led you wrong. Yes, you should love them in Christ. But there's a time you need to say, back up off me. Amen? I've loved you, I've loved you, I've sowed into you, I've helped you, I've prayed for you, you've hurt me, and it's time, our embracing's over. You better embrace Jesus because I'm done with embracing you, amen? There's a time to embrace, but there's a time to refrain from embracing because some of us are going to love people all the way into hell. You can love someone all the way into hell. Every now and then they need to face the reproofs of life and realize, hey, my way's not working. My friends aren't speaking with me anymore. My life's not going very good. Maybe I should call upon the name of the Lord. Because if you keep coddling sinners and coddling people that are in sin and making mistakes and they're hurtful and ugly people, you're going to coddle them, as I said, all the way into hell. There's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to gain and a time to lose. If you're invested in the stock market or in 401k, you know that. Amen. There's a time you're going to gain, and then there's a time you're going to lose, my friend. There's a time you think in your life, especially some of my seasoned members. I'll take Sonny and Gene. I'll embarrass y'all. You think it back in your life, and there's a time where you've accumulated some things, amen? Where it was all about having things. But now I would venture to say that you're kind of like my father and mother, that it's all about what you've given now, isn't it? It's all about what you've given to your family, what you've given out. There's a time to gain, friend. There's a time to get things. I don't have a problem with you accumulating or getting things. But there's also a time to give out. And at the end of your life, you're going to be like Solomon, and it's not going to be about how much junk you have around you and how much you've accumulated, how many kids you've had. You can have 8 kids, but what have you poured into those children? What have they become because of your love? That's the way God looks at us. He sent His Son to die for us. And have we turned our nose up at that sacrifice, or have we embraced it? A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. There's times where we need to just shut up. There's times where preachers like me just need to shut up. Amen? If the Spirit of God's moving, He doesn't need my help. Amen? His Spirit can flow through here and I can be as still and as quiet and God can still move. I'm glad that He protected me from the snowstorm and got me here. But I can promise you one thing, if I wouldn't have been here, God would have still been here. Amen? There's a time to speak and there's a time to shut up. Sometimes when you speak, I remember my father used to tell me when I was little, my first girlfriend was in 8th grade, cheerleader, and I was a football player, and I was a lineman, and most linemen didn't date cheerleaders. And you young people know what I'm talking about. Mostly the running backs dated cheerleaders, but God just, I guess, gave me a blessing. I don't know how it happened. But I was dating a cheerleader girl. And I can remember I was going over to her parents' house, and I was nervous. My dad was taking me, you know, he's got these great words of wisdom. And I said, you know, our whole family's there. I said, well, what do I say? And he said, well, if you don't say nothing, they won't know you're stupid. And of course he laughed, you know. See, you wonder that kind of encouragement. That's why dad will never be Joel Osteen, amen. But he said, if you don't open your mouth, they won't know you're stupid. Amen? But as stupid as that joke was, that thing has stuck with me. And it got me through 8 years in the corporate world, I got to be honest. Because I worked in insurance for 8 years. And we would get in meetings because I was good at selling the product and presenting the product. But I didn't really know what the heck the product was. So we'd get in meetings with vice presidents and people of that nature. And I'd hear Dad's voice. Now, if you don't say anything, they won't ever know. You don't know what you're doing. Amen. So there's a time to speak and there's a time to shut up. Amen. It's the same principle when you're talking with someone about Jesus. There's a time where you've said all you can say, my friend. And it's time to just be quiet and let that still small voice in their heart begin to speak to them. Maybe that still small voice is speaking to you this morning. Maybe you don't know Jesus. And I would love more than anything in this world on this last Sunday of the All Things New, talking about new seasons, I would love more than anything in the world for everyone in here to know that they know that they know that they're saved. You know, some of you prayed a prayer when you were 4 or 5 years old that's going to send you to hell. And you say, what do you mean? I mean, I heard a story the other day about a young man from a young man who said that when he was 4 years old, he walked down an aisle, his mother got saved. He walked down an aisle with his mother, because what's a 4-year-old going to do? Sit out in the crowd by himself? Walk down the aisle with his mother. She was crying. Something very real happened in her heart. And then they got down the aisle and they went back with the counselor and she said, well, are you getting saved too? And the 4-year-old said, well, I don't know. And she said, well, you don't want to go to hell, do you? What's a 4-year-old going to say? Yeah, I want to go to hell. Sounds like a great idea. So the 4-year-old said no. Well, then for 30 years, That four-year-old became a teenager, became an adult, began to live in sin, began to do things. And every time he would go to church, the Spirit of God would begin to speak to that person. But he'd say, you know, I prayed a prayer back when I was 4 or 5 years old. I'm good. No, it's not about praying a prayer, my friend. It's about a change of heart. You say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Here's how you know. When you were saved, did you change? If there was no change, then my friend, you're probably not saved. You say, can you tell who's saved and who's not? No, I can't give you a definite answer on that. But I know this, if you were saved, you were changed. And if you've never changed, my Bible says you'll change, amen? That you'll be made new. A time to speak and a time to keep silent. There's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time of war, and we're in one here in this country, and a time of peace. There's a time to love, and there's a time to hate. You know, this idea that we can just love every religion and love every belief is wrong. I consider myself a Christiancrat. I don't know what political party I am. I support and love our president. But I tell you, abortion's wrong. No matter who's president, and the last seven haven't changed it, whether they've been for it or against it. But it's wrong. Same-sex marriage is wrong. I love my gay brothers and sisters. I mean that. I've got, you know, friends that I worked with. Some of the greatest people in the world, nicest people. But same-sex marriage is wrong. It's an abomination. And we can't continue to say, well, we just love people who love Allah. People can believe what they want. They don't have to believe in Jesus. They can just believe in God in general, and let's all do charity together, and we should all respect each other's beliefs. No! You cannot believe part of this book. You have to believe all of it. Time of peace. I want to give you five seasons this morning, and I know that I've taken some time going through the scriptures. But five seasons. We serve a God of seasons. Everyone say amen. Amen. We see it in creation. In Genesis it talks about the breeding season. We know that we have winter, spring, fall, and summer. Amen. We have different seasons as the earth orbits around the sun. But the one constant is what? The sun. Amen? Well, as a Christian, our one constant ought to be what? The sun. S-O-N, not S-U-N. We go in and out of seasons in our life, but the one constant that we have ought to be the sun, and His name is Jesus. That ought to be the constant. A passion and a love fueled by forgiveness through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first season is a season of creation. A season of creation. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:2, a time to be born and a time to die. The first two things it deals with, and we've talked about birth a little bit, is birth and creativity. There is a breeding season. There's a time of creation for every person. A time of creation for every person. Randy Morris, the nation's top fertility doctor, says that the ideal time for a woman to give birth to a baby is between the age 25 and 40. Now that's not to say that a woman can't get pregnant way before that or way after that. God can perform a miracle like He did with Sarah, amen? God can do it, but the ideal time is this, according to Dr. Morse, and it's not necessarily a matter of health, it's a matter of the egg. It gets old, the eggs get old, and the risk to the baby is what Dr. Morse said. And he said, you know, these women today think they can take 100 vitamins, take 10 types of cream lotions on their face, and still stay young. But the truth is, no matter what you do, and my mom's the worst, brother, with the creams and all that, she'll drive you nuts. They've got little pill packets of vitamins they take every day. I'm not doing that, amen. I like my, as fast as over, I'm ready for a Coke, amen, a regular Coke. But the ideal time of conception, there's an ideal window, amen. There's an ideal window of creation for you. There's an ideal time. They say that 80% of people who accept Jesus Christ do it between the time they were born and age 30. Most people that make it past that age never get saved. So it's the same thing spiritually. There's a window of opportunity. There's a window where you have a time to be born. There's a time of creation, a season of creation. There's also a season of creativity, which is under creation. If you're taking notes, there's a season of creation which deals with the birth. There's a time to be born, but it also deals with creativity. There's also a creative window in your life. I can remember when the group came down to our church, when we were talking about pursuing a partnership, long-term partnership with Abbas House and Truth Tabernacle, one of the profound things that my father said in the meeting, he came in towards the end of it and prayed with us and stuff, and he told the search committee, he said, you know, there's something to be said for a pastor between the ages of about 28 and 40 because they're very hungry. They're very hungry to build. God he's put passion in their bosom, and they want to build, and they want to go knocking on doors. And he said, I'm 63. And he said, you know, I've done about all I can do. And that's not to say we shouldn't continue to seek God and let Him use us till the day we die, no matter how old we are. But I believe you all would agree with me, especially those that are older, that there's a time when you had your strength, amen? Yeah. And that you were able to do creative things in your business. You were able. It's like new ideas just came to you. They just came to you naturally. You just knew what to do and what steps to take. And then you got to a place and you said, I'm just going to serve and be satisfied in this place. There's a window of opportunity for you to be creative. Stop being a dreamer and start being a doer. Amen? It's one thing to dream about it, and I'm the biggest daydreamer you ever met. But you've got to start doing. Start doing in the workplace. You say, well, I haven't been the greatest mother. Start being a good mom today. Haven't been the greatest father. Call those kids today. Start from today and begin to do what God has told you to do. You say, well, God always felt like I should have my own business. Begin to make some calls about it tomorrow. It's not going to hurt you to call. How much could I get approved for a loan? What would it cost to furnish this business? I mean, begin to make some calls. Because if you don't try it, my friend, you're going to get to the end of your life and that window of opportunity is going to be gone. There's a season of creation, a time to birth new things, but there's a season of creativity. There's a time to do things that God has asked you to do. Next, there's a season of cultivation. In Exodus, it talks about the plowing season. The plowing season. There's a time to sow, amen? And then there's a time to till that ground, to work that ground. Somebody's got to do the work. Some of us are going to dream and not do. Some of us are going to do and not dream. But bless God, somebody's got to get a shovel and start digging the hole. Amen? Someone's got to do the work. You know what I see all the time, especially in our church because of the size of it? All these businessmen, Pastor David, are wanting to become ministers. I'm thinking, have you lost your mind? Do you know what you're saying? Because the truth is, a God-called minister, regardless of age, color, creed, or denomination, let me tell you something, a God-called minister is forced into a corner. And God has said, this is what you're doing. And I will not bless anything else you do until you obey me. Because you're looking at a guy who tried everything. Everything. Because I didn't want to do this. And then I see a guy that's, well, I'm president of a bank, and I'd like to be a minister. I'm thinking, you dummy. God ain't called you to ministry. He's called us all to be ministers and priests. But He hadn't called you to do what David and I are doing, because He wouldn't be blessing you in the marketplace. See, some of you, God's called you to be marketplace ministers. God's called you to go out and make a living and be blessed so that you can be a blessing. So you can still preach, you can still witness, you can still be a leader, just as much of a leader in this church as David or I, but God has called you to go out and till the ground, to cultivate that ground. And people say, well, I just want the full-time ministry. No, you don't. Seriously. I'm trying to help you. No, you don't unless God has said you're doing it. 100%. Because I promise you, you wouldn't be blessed in the marketplace if you were supposed to do what David and I are called to do. It's a torment sometimes to worry and cry and pray for the people just to have them backstab you in a moment's notice. It's a torment, my friend, to get up two or three times a week and know that you're not perfect, that you have to get up and deliver God's word as a vehicle. And you never want to be too prideful. You never want to be too careless with what you say. And if you don't do your best, God will whip you over it and convict you. It's an everyday dying of self. And some of these guys, I want to be in, you're out of your mind unless God's called you. If He's called you, bless God, let's help you get ordained today. But if He's called you in the marketplace to be a marketplace minister, then go out and work that business. Cultivate that ground. Till that ground. Make that money, bless God, so that you can be a blessing to this house. So that we can reach lost people. Nothing wrong with that. We have a man in our church, and I'll be fast. I know I'm preaching long today, but we have a man in our church named Alan Johnson, one of my heroes. He helped me graduate from seminary. He's a PhD. He was a pastor for many years. His wife, they had an early divorce. He had two small girls. And back in the Southern Baptist days, if you had a divorce, you was through. And God called him. He went to seminary, just a great man of God in his 60s. But he knew when his wife left him, he did nothing wrong, nothing immoral. She left him. She made a mistake. And didn't want to be married to him. So he resigned from the ministry. And he just decided he'd go be a businessman. Well, now, he's rich. He went back to school. He got his MBA. He got a couple degrees. He owns his own business now. And you know what? He's taught Sunday school for 30 years. And he's had 40 or 50 people in that Sunday school class. He's preached probably 20 times a year. He's taught people how to get out of debt in our church. He's had a bigger ministry. Are you listening? A bigger ministry, serving God's people, being out in that community. I thought of Daryl, who I know is working security today, who's a plumber. I mean, Daryl gets to go and be around lost people every day. Someone has an emergency like I did when my pipe busted. Who did I call? Bless God, I called the plumber. Not Ghostbusters, amen. And they came over and fixed it. And I mean, I was ready to hug that man. Because I couldn't get my water even turned off. And I'm telling you, he's got a ministry. He goes and visits with new people every day that he can tell about Jesus. You think you're not worthy, but my friend, you have a ministry. A marketplace ministry. So there's a season of creation. Next, there's a season of cultivation. And next, there's a season of accumulation. Proverbs 24 says this relative to the season of cultivation. I want to read this to you. I had it in my notes and it's important. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. See, some of us are plowing the wrong ground at the wrong time. We're working ourselves to death, but we're on the wrong ground. Some of you say, well, I don't have a church home. Well, that's part of the problem. You're throwing your seeds every which way. You need a house, amen? You need a place of rest, a place to serve God and worship God. You need to be under a covering. There's a season of accumulation. How many of you know that there's a former rain and a latter rain? Rain represents, in Ezekiel, showers of blessing. In Ezekiel 34, you can write that down and read it later. Showers of blessing. You know, we need to begin to receive the showers of blessing that God has for us. Amen. I believe He's got showers of blessing headed towards this house. God is opening some really cool doors, if you've been paying attention, about things going on in the community, about churches wanting to come here and help us. Amen. That's just awesome news. There's a season of accumulation. Leviticus 26, quickly, Leviticus 26. And I won't read it all, but you can read it all later. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season. Everybody say a new season. Hang with me for about five more minutes. And the ground will yield its crops and the trees of the field their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I want to quickly give you some points about due season. Everyone say due season. I believe it's harvest time. Amen. Write that down. It's harvest time under due season. It's harvest time for this church. There's been a lot of work, a lot of seed sown, a lot of ground tilled, and bless God, it's time to reap the harvest. I believe we're going to see that through some of these movie nights, through some backyard Bible clubs, through hopefully a revival before the end of April out here on the football fields. That's why I think it's so important that Pastor David and Yvette get a two-week break, because I believe it's harvest time. God's going to shower us with blessing of souls and everything else. I believe it with all my heart. But that you've got to begin to tell your friends that there's a move of God going on over here. Amen? You say, well, they go to another church. Well, so what? Maybe that church is dead. Tell them. Tell them about us. Amen? You don't tell them the other church is dead. I won't go that far this morning. There's a season of accumulation. One, it's harvest time here at Truth Tabernacle. If you'll be faithful, God's going to send us souls. And next it says in Leviticus 26, it says this, He sets His tabernacle among us. His tabernacle, that portable dwelling place is what that means. Among us means right smack dab in the center of. It's neat, a tabernacle. Which means God sits right here in the middle of us, in the center of what we're doing, but it's portable, amen. When we go and show a movie in an apartment, bless God, that spirit goes with us. When we have a party out here on the back, and we have athletes here, and we have football, baseball camps here, bless God, that spirit moves out to the field. Amen. If you go and you leave here today filled up and you tell somebody about Jesus, that portable spirit's with you. It dwells among us, amen, but it's portable. It can go with us. Hallelujah. It's harvest time, and He sets His tabernacle among us. There's seasons of accumulation in every person's life. We talked about that. There are times where in your life you're going to collect. You know, when I was little, I loved baseball cards. I got Willie Mays. I got Mickey Mantle. I got Frank Thomas. I got Shaquille O'Neal's rookie card. All of them. Ken Griffey Jr. I loved to collect cards. It was a hobby. And you could have held me at gunpoint, and I wouldn't have came off of my Griffey Jr. or Shaquille O'Neal cards as a kid. And now I don't even care about them. I'm giving them to my kids. But there was a season in my life where I would have fought you to death for those baseball cards. And now I'd let my kid wrinkle them up. I mean, Trey plays with them all the time. But there are seasons of accumulation, amen. And I want to make sure today, and I'll close with this last, I have two more points, but with this point, make sure we're accumulating the blessings of God and the spirits of God and the Word of God. Make sure that when we want to accumulate stuff, accumulate that. Accumulate, well, I've led 4 people to the Lord this week. I've invited 5 people to church. If you want to keep statistics, keep those statistics. But don't accumulate, well, I've accumulated all this money. Your friend, you're not going to get to take it with you. I've never seen a U-Haul attached to a hearse. You don't get to take a dime of it with you. There's a season of accumulation, but there's a season of desolation. Job speaks of a dry season. There are going to be seasons in your life, my friend, where you don't see any fruit. Where your seed may be in the ground, it may have snow on top of it, but that doesn't mean that God's still not moving, and He's still not working. See, a lot of people, if they can't see the fruit immediately, they just believe it's dead. But it depends on what season it is. Amen? Well, you've got to know what season you're in. And I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are beginning to enter a new season, and it's harvest time. But I want to encourage you this morning that there are seasons of desolation. You think of Job. There are times in your life where that man you looked up to that taught you how to ride your bike, that helped, that taught you to fix things, that father that was so strong that you're going to end up losing him. And you're going to see cancer eat him down to about 90 pounds. There's times where that grandfather who you loved, you're going to see that hospice come in and you're going to see that he can't do the things that he used to do. And that person that was like a strong tower to you dies right before your eyes. There's a time where that mother who cared for you and who was there for you, or that grandmother that you've loved, that you're going to lose those people that meant so much to you. But my friend, God's going to restore that. And if they were saved, you get to see them again, amen, in a new heaven. And my friend, they will be healthy, amen. They won't be connected to hospice. They won't be having an in-home nurse there, amen. They're going to be restored to glory, amen, the same age as Christ Jesus at 33, in all their beauty and all their strength. But there are seasons of desolation. There are seasons that are dry, desert seasons, where you don't feel like anything's being accomplished. You don't feel like the seed's getting water. You don't feel like it's getting sunlight. But my friend, God's still using it. If you've put the seed there, God's still using it. And finally, a season of satisfaction. There's a season of creation, a season of cultivation, a season of accumulation, a season of desolation. But finally today, there's a season of satisfactions. There are seasons of joy in our text that Solomon talks about. Seasons where all is well. Amen. Seasons where you've got the people you love around you. Amen. God's blessing you. God's filling you up. God's speaking to you. You're creating things. You're cultivating things. You're accumulating things. And you have an inner peace that other people don't have. There's a season of satisfaction. Think about a father who gives his daughter away to get married and gets to take that last walk or have that last dance. There are times of joy in every person's life. Think about a young father like me that gets to watch his sons make a tackle or score a touchdown or hit a baseball or shoot a basketball. Bless God. There's some satisfaction in that. Amen. There are times where you can sit back and stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. There are times where you can experience joy. Amen. It's okay. It's not a sin to be happy. Amen. It's not a sin to enjoy time with your family, enjoy time with your friends. You ain't going to have them forever on this earth. We might as well enjoy some things, amen. But there's a season of satisfaction. My question to you this morning is, what season are you in? Is it a season of creation? Is God birthing something new in your life? Is it a season of cultivation? Is God just having you at work hard? Thank God you have a job, amen, and that He's got you doing some work. Or is it a season of accumulation? Or you've just been so caught up in piling up, stockpiling junk, money, this, that, and you're really missing it? Or are you in a season of desolation where your family's sick, hurt, you've been going through a period of torment? Or, amen, are you satisfied? And when I say satisfied, I don't mean arrogantly content. I mean that you're satisfied knowing that you have Jesus in your heart, that you've been forgiven, that you've been touched by the power of His Holy Spirit, and you have a purpose in heaven and a purpose on earth. Please bow your head and close your eyes this morning. I've said a lot to you this morning about seed time and harvest. But are you satisfied this morning? You know, we should never be satisfied, but my friend, you can be satisfied from the inside out. You can have an inner peace that others don't have. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, I beg of you, I don't want you to go to hell. It doesn't matter what season it is. Today's harvest time for you if you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've had family members praying for you, mothers, fathers, grandmothers, friends, and if you've never accepted Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to make that decision. I want you to pray with me. I want you to be serious. A prayer won't keep you out of hell. A change of heart. That's what repent means, to change your mind about sin, to change your mind and to change your heart. If there's no change, if there's never been a change in your life, then my friend, you are on your way to hell, and I want you to be saved. So if you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me this morning. As we close out the All Things New series, I would like each and every person to make sure that they've been made new. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. That's right, dear Lord Jesus. Say, Lord, I want to be made new. Lord, I want to be made new. Lord, I've got sin in my life. Lord, I've got sin in my life. Lord, please forgive me of those sins, of those things I've done wrong. Lord, please forgive me of all the bad things that I've done. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, I believe you're alive and hearing me pray. I believe you're alive and hearing me pray. Lord, please come into my heart and save me. Lord, please come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.